You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. Us here at Island Community Church greet you here today on this Thursday. We're tuning into God's frequency. This is WGOD. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. We're going to hear some words from him today out of the book of Philippians. That's our launching point. The preacher today is Pastor Darren. He's going to be bringing us the word. This was the sermon he just preached here at Island Community Church this past Sunday, and it is entitled Spiritual Supply. Launching point for this sermon is Philippians. He's got a whole bunch of scripture references here. Sit tight. This was an outstanding sermon. Looking forward to you guys hearing it. I invite you to church this weekend. We are in Acts chapters 9 and 10. We're following around lately the Apostle Peter. Actually, we've been following Paul around lately. We're going to return back to Peter here. Peter's got the keys. That's the title of my sermon. He's been given the keys by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We're going to be in Mark chapter 16 as well, as we see and hear the Lord Jesus personally give Peter himself the keys. And what he loosed would be loosed in heaven. What he bound on earth would be bound in heaven. And that's the explanation for seeing the things that Peter's done. We're going to see more of those this weekend. Sunday morning, 10:30, we're at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. You are invited. If you're new to the area or if you are looking for a new church home, I invite you to attend Island Community Church. Now you guys can hear what was preached here last weekend. This is from Pastor Darren, your spiritual supply.
I had originally titled this sermon, Spiritual Supply. And a few days after I finished it, another title came to my mind. And that title was the question, what are you looking at? And I liked both the titles. I couldn't make up my mind what to call this sermon, so I used both of them. So the sermon's entitled, Spiritual Supply. What are you looking at? 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we do not look at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things that which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And with that, I'll get started. I'm at Philippians chapter 4. Now, I taught verse by verse series on Philippians recently, the last series that I taught. And I taught a pretty in-depth study, at least I thought. And in prayer and preparation for today's sermon, the Lord led me back to Philippians. And he led me back there as if to say, we're not done there yet. I thought I was. But he led me back there to say, you're not done there. There's more there, and it's not time to move on yet. I hope to move on today, but I don't know if there might still be more there when I get done today. But I'd like to extract all the goodness out of it that I possibly can. And Lord willing, and I know that he is, I hope to do that today. In the previous study, we looked at extensively at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Now, it's hanging right there on the wall. And it was a great study once I got to this point, because It's focusing on something that we all deal with. Don't say you don't. We all deal with worry. We all deal with anxiety. All of us do. Some of them might be a little bit more extreme than others, but we all deal with it. So it's a very relatable sermon today. And I thought I got all the good out of it. When I did the series on it, I was wrong. I didn't get all the good out of it. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, in the previous study, I made a connection between Philippians 4, 6 and Philippians 4, 19. Philippians 4, 19 is, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." It's a chain reaction, see? James 1, 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." God says to you, do this, and I'll do this. We do our part, he does his part. Our part is Philippians 4, 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." His part. 4:19, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That's in its simplest form. But there's a whole lot in between that we'll be looking at today. So hold your place in Philippians chapter 4. Just we'll be coming back to it. Now from here, I'm going to refer back to Luke chapter 4. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want to try to set this up. Luke chapter 4, Jesus is in the wilderness. And I'll set it up with Jesus just being baptized by John. The Holy Spirit has descended on him like a dove. A voice from the heaven which says, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." And then immediately he is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he fasted for 40 days and nights. He's in the wilderness, homeless, no shelter, no provisions. He's not only been removed from what we might consider creature comforts, but been removed from all physical and material provisions that one would need to survive. What's he doing? He's setting the example. He is putting on the whole armor of God. He's seeking and receiving his spiritual supply. He is seeking first the kingdom of God. And when the devil comes up to tempt him, you look at what he tempts him with at Luke 4, 3. Now let me set this up, because the devil's going to ask him a question, because the devil's trying to determine something. He is trying to determine whether or not Jesus is the Son of God. And he comes up with these series of temptations to try to find the answer to that question. He said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And pay close attention to Jesus' response, because it's telling. And there's a tremendous lesson here. And I'm going to go out on a limb here today, so don't throw rocks at me. Just hear me out. Let me ask you this. Would it have been a sin for Jesus to turn a stone into bread? Is there anything written that says, "Thou shalt not turn stone into bread"? No. If there was, he would have responded that way, right? He would have responded, thou shalt not turn stone into bread. He would have said, for it is written, thou shalt not turn stone into bread. He didn't respond like that. He responded by what was written. He responded, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He responded with Deuteronomy 8:3. When you get home tonight, read Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8. You'll see the similarities. Okay, so what is the devil trying to do here? What is his angle? He's trying to get Jesus to focus on his physical need. He's trying to get Jesus to give in to his flesh. Because if he can do it here, if he can get it here, we'll see when Jesus gets into the garden and another appeal for his flesh is made. He's just came out of the wilderness. He went to the wilderness for spiritual supply. Jesus is beyond hungry. He hasn't eaten in 40 days and nights. If he can get Jesus to give into his flesh, then he is not the Son of God, and the devil has his answer. Jesus is not having any of it. Physically, Jesus is starving. Spiritually, he's full as a tick. And that supersedes all his physical and material needs. John 4:32, Jesus told his disciples, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And we're not talking about pizza. Right? Right. John 4:34, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now, you might ask me, what are you getting at, Pastor? I'll tell you what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Now, let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let me give you the full scripture that relates to this. Matthew chapter 6, you can turn there if you'd like and follow with me. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. The heading in the New King James reads, do not worry. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worry can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have its worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Seek first your spiritual supply. Don't worry about the rest. God knows what you need. John 6:32, after Jesus miraculously fed the 5,000, they wanted him to give us this bread always. And Jesus tried to get their attention off the physical bread and onto the true bread of life. Truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you this bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who has come down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Sadly, the people could not get their minds off of physical bread long enough to understand the spiritual truth that Jesus was declaring. They were more concerned with the condition of their stomachs than the condition of their souls. Now let's go back to Philippians 4:7. And I want to look at what's been supplied. We've looked at the request at 4:6. Now let's look at what is supplied. And I'll go back and read the two together. I'll start at 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Here comes the supply. Pay close attention to this. You've got the request, right? Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Here comes the supply at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, is that material or spiritual? Spiritual, right? Right. Now, I hope you can start to see where I'm going with this, right? Let's move to Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19, and my God, see, they're connected. It's the reason I'm using them together, because they're connected. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And look at the word says, what the word says at 4:19. Whose riches are they? God's, right? And where are his riches located? Where? In glory, right? That's where it says. Stay with me. And how do we access his riches that are located in glory? By Christ Jesus. Exactly. God the Father has a storehouse in glory. And we have access to that storehouse by and through faith in Christ. He paid our membership fee. And with that being said, you mean to tell me that you would go into the storehouse and ask for SpaghettiOs and rent money? If you do or if you have, you've missed it. You're carnal. And we've all done it. Now pray for God's mercy on us all. We've placed our carnal material needs and desires above our spiritual needs and desires. We've got the cart before the horse. And the cart don't pull the horse. The horse pulls the cart. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to show you something. Well, I want to let the Word show you. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 4. Because I want to show you the storehouse and what's in it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. It says, but God who is rich in... What's he rich in? Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 4, Ephesians 2, 4, tells us exactly what is in his storehouse. And what he is rich in, mercy. Verse 7 says, grace is there. He's rich in grace. He's rich in kindness. Grace is a gift. Faith is a gift. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4 says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. In just about every one of Paul's epistles to the church, he prays for the brethren without ceasing. And then he tells us exactly what he prays for. He's our example. It's not guesswork on this, guys. He tells us exactly what he prays. If you want to know how Paul prayed, read it. He prays that they would grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Is that material or spiritual? You know the answer, right? Okay, so let me ask you a question. What are you praying on? What are you praying for? Well, that's going to depend on what you're looking at, right? Right? You'll be praying at what you're looking at. If you're looking at your physical, you're going to pray physical. If you're looking at your spiritual need, you're going to pray spiritual. Well, I'm telling you what's in the storehouse. And it's not SpaghettiOs. You're not going to find Chef Boyardee there. Now, guys, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you can't pray for things like that. What I'm saying is first comes first. Take care of your spiritual needs and your spiritual supply first. And God will take care of the rest. Quit worrying about it. It's all going to depend on what you're looking at. Now, let me read this to you. This is Ephesians 1:15. Here you can see exactly what Paul prays for the other believers, for the other churches. He prays for all of them. Listen to his prayer. He says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, this is supplication, right? This is supply. He's going to tell you that I'm praying that God may give to you this. And then he tells you, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. There is not one mention in that prayer about their material or physical need. It's the Apostle Paul that prays. What better example, right? It's not one mention about, and Lord, I pray that you'd send them some rent money and a can of SpaghettiOs. James 4:2 says, you do not have, says, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. We're asking for the wrong thing because we're looking at the wrong thing. We're going to the storehouse of God and asking him to fill up the cart and not the horse. The horse pulls the cart. And it doesn't matter what's in the cart if your horse can't pull it. The horse pulls the cart. But yet we go into the storehouse with the cart and say, fill it up. Not one mention about the horse. It's carnal. Doesn't matter what's in the cart if the horse can't pull it. 2 Peter 1:5 through 10. This is speaking of supply. He says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement, supply your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question. When you go into the storehouse, when you go in prayer, do you ask for an increase in faith?
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, author of the MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. Well, if you read just about any book on forgiveness, whether it's from a secular author or even a church leader, you're likely to be told you need to forgive yourself. It's an idea that seems grounded in Scripture. As Colossians 3:13 puts it, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. What do you think about that, John? If God's forgiven us and we're supposed to forgive others, don't we have an obligation to also forgive ourselves?
I was watching the news the other day, and a man had carried off some heinous crimes, and